Luke chapter 8, verses 41 through 46. This is the reading of God's Word. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue. And he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. And immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that the power had gone out of me." When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared, in the presence of all the people, the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But when Jesus heard this, he answered him, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe, and she will be made well." When he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him, except Peter and John and James, and the girl's father and mother. Now they were all weeping and lamenting for her, but he said, "Stop weeping, for she has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. He, however, took her by the hand and called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up immediately, and he gave orders for something to be given her to eat. Her parents were amazed, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We pray that you will grant all of us an ear to hear your word, so that we may truly hear your word and our faith will grow and we will be more like Jesus Christ. Oh Father, through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will not only hear, but also believe and also obey your word. We thank you. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, through the book of Luke, we are looking at Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. He is accomplishing the new creation. He is conquering the waters. And we see the same reality in our passage for today. Through these stories of the new creation, we learn who Jesus Christ is, and we see the reality of the kingdom of God. And we also see the reality of the citizens of the kingdom of God. Thus, we see our heavenly realities that our Lord has already accomplished for us. In our passage, we see two miracles. Two miracles are combined into one story. Luke tells us of one story, then in the middle of that story, he tells of another story. Then he goes back to the first story. The same events that we see in our passage are also found in Mark chapter 5 and also Matthew chapter 9. In verse 40, we see Jesus Christ returning to the region of the Jews. And we begin verse 41. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. We see a man, Jairus. He is an official of the synagogue, the person who is in charge of the synagogue. As such, he is admired in the society. He fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore Jesus to come to his house. And we see the reason for that in verse 42. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him. The only daughter, about 12 years old, she is dying. In Mark, book of Mark, Jairus says to Jesus, please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live. Thus, Jesus goes with Jairus, and we see crowds were pressing against him. As Jesus goes with Jairus to his house, we are told of another story. Verses 43 and 44. And a woman who had hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Well, a woman with no name came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his cloak. We are told that she had a hemorrhage for 12 years. Now, what is hemorrhage? Well, a sickness that causes a heavy discharge of blood due to other than the normal period. Now, we read about this matter in Leviticus, in the Old Testament. Leviticus 15, verse 25 to 30. Let me read that to you. Now, if a woman has a discharge of her blood many days, not at the period of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond that period, all the days of her impure discharge, she shall continue as though in her menstrual impurity she is unclean. Any bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be to her like her bed at menstruation. And everything on which she sits shall be unclean, like her uncleanness at that time. Likewise, whoever touches them shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bathe in water, and be unclean until evening. When she becomes clean from her discharge, she shall count off, for herself 7 days, and afterwards she will be clean. Then on the eighth day, she shall take for herself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and bring them into the priest, to the doorway of the tent of meeting. The priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. So the priest shall make atonement on her behalf before the Lord because of her impure discharge. So according to that passage, after the discharge caused by the period, a woman must count off 7 days. And afterwards, she will be clean, but through a sin offering and a burnt offering. But woman in our story, she has this sickness for 12 years. So she was unclean for 12 years. And everything she touches is unclean. And everyone who touches her is also unclean. So that means she could not go out to the temple to sacrifice to God. So she actually witnessed the reality of her sins not being forgiven by God for 12 years. Mark chapter 5 verse 26 says, and had endured much at the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. Even though she had spent all of her money, no one was able to help her. So picture the life, her life. She lives without any hope. Who or what can help her in this world? How can she not be so depressed? She dies more and more every single day. But one day, she hears about Jesus Christ. The hope comes to her. So she thinks to herself, we read that in Mark chapter 5, verse 28, for she thought, if I just touched his garments, I will get well. But as you know, this woman, she was not able to come out in the public. She was completely cut off from the society. But she believes if she could just touch Jesus' garment, then she will be cured. So secretly, she comes up behind Jesus and touches the fringe of Jesus' garment. And we are told immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Luke chapter 8 verse 45, and Jesus said, who is the one who touched me? And while they were all denying it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you. You could picture that, why so many people are pressing in on Jesus. And Jesus said, who is that? Who is that? What's the one who touched me? Well, Peter thinks it is so ridiculous that Jesus would ask such a question. Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you. In Mark chapter 5, verse 31, the disciples say, you see the crowd pressing in on you and you say, who touched me? But Jesus knows. He is not talking about someone just brushing against him because there are so many people around him. He knew that touch was not ordinary touch. Luke chapter 8 verse 46, but Jesus said, someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me. It is not that Jesus does not know the woman with hemorrhage touched him. He knows that. But this event, as you know, is the revelation of God. There is God's message and teaching in this event. Jesus cured the woman with a hemorrhage secretly. But he causes her to witness. It's just like our salvation, isn't it? Our salvation has been accomplished in us secretly. But now he wants us to witness that reality. Luke chapter 8 verse 47, when the woman saw that he had not escaped notice, he came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. She knows that she cannot stay silent. Thus she came before Jesus and tells. Here we could see that Jesus is not scolding her, who is trembling now. Luke chapter 8 verse 48, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Jesus calls her daughter. It seems that she was about the same age as Jesus or older than Jesus. And yet Jesus calls her daughter. You could see that she is becoming a daughter of God. She is becoming a member of Jesus' family. Then Jesus says that her healing is not a magic. It is not a superstition. He said, Jesus said to her, she is healed through faith that God has given her. So we could see that it's not just a physical healing. Jesus says, your faith has made you well. The true salvation of God is being given to her here. Mark chapter 5, verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Some translation have it, your faith has saved you. Jesus speaking of both the physical healing and the spiritual salvation. Thus, through this event, her reality of heaven is being witnessed. God says to her, go in peace. Peace with God. The relationship with God is being restored. This woman, she could not go to the temple. She could not even make sacrifice to God. She lived witnessing how she is forsaken by God. But now she has a relationship with God. The same peace is given to you in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And might reconcile them, sinners, both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who were near. And verse 49, while he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. While Jesus was still speaking to the woman, someone comes and said, your daughter, the official's daughter, has died. Well, the daughter is dead. That's the end, isn't it? It's over. There's nothing anyone can do now, is there? Even if Jesus comes to the house, there is nothing he could do because she is dead. Thus, we hear, do not trouble the teacher anymore. She's dead. There is no more hope. But we have to remind ourselves, who is Jesus? And for what Jesus came to accomplish? Who is she? Who is he? We heard this question many times in the book of Luke. Verse 50, but when Jesus heard this, he answered him, do not be afraid any longer, only believe, and she will be made well. Do not be afraid any longer, only believe. Do you remember in the book of Exodus? The Israelites were chased by the Egyptian army. So in the front of them, the Red Sea, and the back of them, the Egyptian army. Truly, they were in a dire situation. Do you remember what Moses said at that time? Exodus 14, verse 13. But Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Do not fear. Just believe. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which Jesus will accomplish for you today. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? That even if I die physically, I will live forever spiritually. And even that dead body will resurrect from the dead when Jesus returns and will unite with my spirit. And as a perfect man, both spirit and body, I will be with my God forever in heaven. Luke 8, chapter 8, verse 51 through 53. When he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter, John, and James, and the girl's father and mother. Now they were all weeping and lamenting for her, but he said, stop weeping, for she has not died, but is asleep. And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. Jesus says, stop weeping, for she has not died, but is asleep. For true Christians, death is just sleeping. Why? Because we will all resurrect. That's the promise of God. Obviously, like these people, the world will laugh at us when we say this kind of stuff. We know that. And yet, that's what we believe. For true Christians, death is just sleeping. Why? Because we will all resurrect. Jesus, when he goes to Lazarus, who is dead, in John chapter 11, verse 11, this is what we read. This he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 and verse 16 and 17. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Luke chapter 8, verse 54 and 56. He, however, took her by the hand and called, saying, child, arise. And her spirit returned, and she got up immediately, and he gave orders for something to be given her to eat. Her parents were amazed, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. So we see Jesus taking the dead child's hand and said, child, arise. And her spirit returned. We understand the physical death, the first death, the spirit is separate from the body. And that spirit goes either to heaven or to hell. But when Jesus returns, our bodies will resurrect from the dead and rejoin with the spirit that is already in heaven. And like I said before, as a perfect man, both body and the spirit, who will live with Jesus Christ in that glorious place, our eternal home, heaven. See, this is different from many philosophies out there. Some people believe that spirit is good, but body is bad. So salvation is actually death, because your spirit is now separate from body, which is bad. But Christian salvation is both saving our spirit and body. Our body is also saved. So when you die, it will decay, but that body, and I don't know how scientifically I cannot explain, but what Bible says is that body is still united to Christ. And one day, just as Jesus was resurrected, our body will resurrect. And that body will meet with the Spirit who is already in heaven and who will meet just like us today, body and spirit. If you just have body, then you're not a man. If you just have spirit, then you're not a man. But the whole man is being saved. Now, we read the passage. What does this mean to us? You have to realize, he's not just telling us these stories just for the sake of telling us stories. We learn already that through these stories, God is witnessing the reality of heaven. The heavenly reality that is true of us. So Bible is about us. What happened to us? So the two miracles that we are looking at today witness the reality of the kingdom of God. They show the new creation. As such, they are our stories. The woman with a hemorrhage, she was dying for 12 years. The daughter of Jairus is dead at 12 years old. One is dying, the other one is dead. Do you see it? This was our fallen reality before the salvation of God. We were dead. And as such, we were dying. I don't want to make anybody mad or anything, angry, but I have to speak the truth. Non-Christians out there, they're already dead and they're dying. And one day, when they die physically, they will die forever, spiritually. Yes, we have to appreciate what mom and dad has to go through. They will learn. Guaranteed. My kids learn. We have to teach them, you know, what worship is about and how properly we should worship God. Because worship is so important. Yeah, so in these two stories, we see our fallen state, sinful state, dying and dead. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sin." That's the Bible's claim. We too were dead, and as such, we're dying. Our life is just that, dying every single day until we actually die. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5a, "Even when we're dead in our transgressions, God made us alive together with Christ. God gave us the health of heaven to us who are dying. And God gave us the eternal life to us who are dead." This is the content of the gospel. From Luke chapter 8 verse 22, we saw four miracles. We've been looking at it last, you know, few weeks. First, we saw calming of the sea. Second, we saw Jesus casting out the demons. Third, healing the woman with a hemorrhage. And fourth, making alive the daughter of Jairus. What are we looking at? The chaos of nature calming the sea. The power of Satan as Jesus casting out the demons. the diseases and pain, woman with hemorrhage and death, the child who died at 12. What do they show? They show the reality of this sinful world that is fallen in sin, the formless, empty, and darkness, the chaos. Jesus comes and does the new creation, bringing the order of heaven into the chaos, the order of God's will. Thus, the reality of the kingdom of God is being witnessed. Because heaven is a place where there is no Satan, no sickness, no pain, nor death. And you see from our story, that's what Jesus accomplishes. Revelation 21 verse 4, and He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. That's exactly what we're looking at in these stories. Do you see it? Jesus does all these miracles, and what's the result? That points to our heavenly realities. But heaven is also where there is no sin. But we are all sinners. Thus the problem of sin must be taken care of. The woman with a hemorrhage and the dead child, they were all unclean. All witness our reality of fallen in sin. But we see there a touch between them and Jesus Christ. The woman with a hemorrhage touches the garment of Jesus, and Jesus holds the hand of the child. Beautiful picture. Because Jesus, our God, who is so righteous, touches the filthy sinners. As He touches the filthy sinners, their uncleanness, their filth, their sin is transferred. They're imputed to Christ. Do you see Jesus bore our sins and receives all the curse of God on that cross? Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Do you see Jesus being cursed on the cross? Not because He is sinner, but He was bearing our sins. All our uncleanness have been imputed to Christ. All our sins have been imputed to Jesus Christ. So on the cross, Jesus is being abandoned by the Father as the unclean sinner. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, God made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin in our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ, who is God, who never sinned, who was completely, perfectly righteous. But on the cross, bearing our sins, He was dying and He died. Just like these people in our passage. He was dying on the cross and He died. Because He was bearing our sins. He made these stories His story. So that His story will be our story. This is the gospel. Do you see your Lord Jesus Christ telling death to come to Him? He's saying, death, come to me. All the filth and uncleanness of my people, come to me. All the sin of my people, come to me. I will bear them. I will bear their sins, and I will die in their places. And that's exactly what He has done. He died on the cross, bearing all our sins and filth and uncleanness. God Himself has tasted death for us in our places. Thus, we'll never taste the eternal death. Oh yeah, we'll die physically, but never eternal death. We now participate in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we enjoy the eternal life in Him. Jesus participated in the death of a child in our story, so that that child can now participate in the resurrection of her Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see? Do you see the reality of our salvation in our passage today? Listen to what Jesus says. Luke 8:48, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Luke chapter 8, verse 50, do not be afraid any longer, only believe. Hear those words from your Lord. Because Jesus says the same thing to you. As Jesus furthers the kingdom of God, as He gathers the citizens of the kingdom of God, He gives faith through that faith He accomplishes. The problem of our sins, Jesus calls us righteous in His sight by and through the faith that He gives. And through that faith, He sanctifies us. And one day we will be glorified. We will be perfect citizens of His kingdom. But brothers and sisters, spiritually, that is our present reality in Jesus Christ. This is your story. Just like that child who is now risen from the dead, we have been risen from the dead. This is our reality. Yeah, let the world laugh at us. They're not going to believe what we say. But we believe. Because God made us to believe. So we are rejoicing and give Him all the glory and thanksgiving. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for what You have done in Jesus Christ for us. That when Jesus was resurrected, we thank You that we have been resurrected with Him. And He lived that perfect righteous life to earn that righteousness for us. And that righteousness is now imputed to us. And through faith that You have given us, we believe. And by that faith, You have justified us. You called us righteous in Your sight. Oh Father, we are truly blessed that sinners like us, how can we be called righteous in Your sight? And yet that is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. We thank You, God. Let us truly live for Your glory. We thank You and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.